could, find the scripture, Luke 2:19. Today we're going to be looking at Mary. We're going to be looking at Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother. It says, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart. She was meditating on them. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, a word of knowledge given to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you look at me differently. You look at all of us, but you look at me differently because I'm a teacher of your word. On me is a greater judgment, a more strict judgment, and I accept my place, Lord, in rightly dividing your word today. In the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you. And happy Mother's Day, moms. I know this is a day to honor my mom, and my mom's in glory, but I have a memory. I was playing in the yard, just a little boy, and I saw all these dandelions in the front yard, and I thought, man, how beautiful they are, right? And like other kids, and it may have happened to you, I collected this big bouquet of dandelions and yellow dandelions and took them in to my mom like I had just gone to the florist and gave them. And my mom canned for the winter. And so she had all these canning jars. And so she put those dandelions in there like they came from a great florist or a flower shop. And she displayed them on the windowsill in the kitchen, you know, for a long time. And I thought I'd really done something. But she proudly displayed those. I know that today is a great blessing for moms. It can also be a difficult day for some moms and for some women. It can be that you've never had children and also, or maybe that you have lost a child and a child has passed away. I know it can be difficult. Today, I hope I challenge all ladies today. And then not only that, it's a challenge to all of us as well. I went to Luke 2:19 and talked about you and I learned that in other verses of Scripture and other versions that Mary kept or treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. Meditating is a really good word to be able to use there. One thing I want to remind you of all the things that the Father gave Jesus is, please understand, he did give him an earthly mom. I want you to look at even the simplicity of that. Could Jesus have just appeared? Well, sure, he did that even in the Old Testament. But the truth of it is, one thing he did give him in his growing up and his life is he did give Jesus an earthly mother. I find that to be something of a blessing. I'm saying that in the form of a blessing. When it says Mary, she treasured these things, in the word treasure means kept or guarded. It's used again in a same sense as 1 Peter 1:4. In 1 Peter 1:4, it says we are given an inheritance that's imperishable, uncorrupted, unfailing, kept. That's the same word there, kept in heaven for you. And so what the Father keeps for us in heaven, he uses the very same word that is there as talking about what Mary keeps in her heart and what she guards in her heart. So you have to ask yourself, what is she keeping or what is she guarding and what is she treasuring in her heart? Imagine an angel, and not only just any angel, but Gabriel, coming and giving you an announcement that you're going to give birth to the Son of God. Indication and direction on what you're going to name him, and she's going to become pregnant, though she's never slept with a man. And I think you would keep that. You would keep such a declaration as going on. So we have Gabriel's announcements. We have shepherds that are coming, and this is happening. Go back if you would to Luke 2. This is happening after the birth of Jesus. This verse is coming to us after the birth of Jesus. So we have his birth, we have the shepherds having the heavenly host show up to them. There's just all kinds of things going on. But she's keeping these things and she's treasuring them in her heart. Now, I can say here to ladies, and you will know this about each other, you all keep everything. Amen, guys? I figured I'd get an amen from a guy. There could be a date on the calendar, and Julie, halfway through the day, she will go, "You don't know what today is, do you?" "No, I'm just, guys, I've been in my nothing box, right? Hanging out in my nothing box." And she's going, you don't know what today is." "No, I don't. Other than, you know, if it's a Tuesday, I'm being a dumb guy going, it's Tuesday," you know. She goes, "Oh, no, this was when," and she goes into this elaborate detail of what happened on this day and on and on and on. My mom, when she was in a nursing home, and I see my mom, we were sitting there just talking one day, and she goes, "Do you remember that time you got on Andrew?" And I was like, "No." And my mom went into elaborate detail. She goes, "I never did like that when you got on him for that." I mean, just dropped out of the blue. I mean, nothing prompted that thought, nothing that I know of. And so we know, to you blessed ladies, your ability to keep in your heart and in your mind, you have that ability. Scripture even speaks to it even here. She kept these things, she guarded them, she treasured them in her heart. And it says also that she meditated or she pondered. The word means that you're weighing. It's a comparing and a weighing to get to an understanding of maybe even what even her role was in all this, or just absolutely being mesmerized by her role in all this. And then in lieu of what I was talking about, look at Luke 2:51. Evidently, she did this often. "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, was obedient to them. And his mother, she treasured all these things in her heart." Evidently, this Mary did this often. Mary as a mom kept or treasured. So ladies, know that's a blessing from the Lord. Men, may we see it as a blessing from the Lord. But moms have a way of keeping and treasuring all kinds of things in their heart. I think it's interesting that we look at Matthew 6:21. I think that is interesting that Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And those same very words are used with his mother. I find that interesting. I find that wanted me to dig a little deeper into that, going that what she kept in her heart, what she treasured in her heart. And then Jesus uses that as a teaching. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can say, well, it's pretty easy for Mary to keep Jesus in her heart, right? Because that's her son. And obviously, yes, the answer to that is yes. But it becomes a picture of us as well as to what we should be keeping into our heart. What did she keep there? To sum it up, she kept the things of God there. She kept times when he has revealed himself to her with an incredible declaration, and then fulfilled an absolutely seemingly impossible promise. She kept that there. She kept those moments there when he spoke, when he revealed, when he promised, and when he fulfilled his promises in truth. What's my challenge to you today? Keep the God moments near. Mom, keep the God moments. Keep the God moments near to you. Keep them. Not only keep them, treasure them. Treasure those moments in your heart. And then even the word ponder or meditate is that, and compare them often to what happens to us. Recently, I had a funeral of a lady that was like a mom to me. Her name was Sue Smith. And I pastored Sue for a number of years when I was at First Baptist Russell Springs. And she and her husband, Raven, are like a mom and dad to me. And God's given me a great set of mom and dads in my life. and still are. Two of them are on the back row back there with Charles and Gail. And Sue just was going through a normal day. She was plans on going shopping. She was going to the funeral of a dear friend. Their mother had passed away. And she was all that. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there was a brain bleed. There was no symptom, no warning. And Sue never recovered. And I was with them at the hospital, spent most of the night with them. Ironically, her son passed away when he was 39. His name was Terry, their only child. And I was 39. Terry and I were the same age. I was already living here, pastoring at First Baptist here. And I was called, and Terry had a stroke, and I held Terry's hand when he died. And then I also was there with his mom when she passed away. I was there to watch them both step into glory. And I know she loved her son, and I know the truth of the first person she met was Jesus. It wasn't Terry, okay? Terry's not her savior. Terry's just her son. But I, in my spirit, I'm just going to say this to you, as I was prepping for the funeral, I, in my spirit, could see Sue being greeted by Jesus. And then I could see Jesus letting Terry greet his mom. I could see that, as weird as you may think that I am. Another guy that's a dear, he's a brother to me, and he's a friend to a lot of us here. His name is Rick Mann. Rick had part of the funeral. And Rick said, he said, I couldn't help but understand that when Sue went to heaven, she met the Lord, and then she saw Terry. But he said, can you imagine the greeting that Jesus gave his mom in glory? Because he went to glory first, right? Came from glory, went back to glory. So can you imagine the greeting that Jesus gave his mother? I don't know if any of y'all like to think like in those lines. I do. You're saying you're adding to the word. I'm not. I'm just challenging you to think. Just the how he received his own mom would have been absolutely incredible. My challenge to you with the example of Mary is, all moms, ladies, men, what do we keep in our hearts? Keep those God moments close by. Why? Because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. Can you imagine Mary when she's hearing that there is a king that wants to kill her son? Wonder what she kept close in her heart. We found out in Luke 2:55, or 2:51, she's wanting to do this. She does it often. But she's hearing about all that he's going to go through and what's going to happen and who's after him and all those things. She keeps them near. She treasures them in her heart. So moms, keep the God moments. Women, keep the God. Men, let's work hard at keeping the God moments, okay? We can forget a lot of things, but let's keep the God moments close by in our life and let's treasure them in our hearts. Now I want to use the family of Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5-6. I want to use his family. You're not going to see the dad here. There's a lot of belief that Timothy's dad was not a believer. We know that from Acts 16, verse 1. He's Greek. And Paul is writing to Timothy, and as he writes to Timothy, this is what he is remembering. Clearly recalling your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, that was in your mother Eunice, and that I am convinced is in you also. Therefore I remind you to keep ablaze the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of hands. There are some things I want to remind you, moms. I want to remind you, and I am speaking directly to mothers here. You have a role in the discipleship of your children. We're going to talk about that a little greater here in just a moment. When Paul saw Timothy's faith, he said it's not fake, it's sincere. That's what the word sincere means, that it was very real. He has seen it. It wasn't lip service. It wasn't bumper stickers. It wasn't posters. It was a real faith. And he said, secondly, it's lived out first in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice. And I just want you to see the faith of two mothers that have been passed on. From a mother to a daughter, from a grandmother and a daughter and a mother to a son, is even passed on to Timothy. Here's what I want you to see. You're asking, how does that happen? How is that passed on to my children? Well, it's caught and taught. I mean, it's both. It's intentional teaching, and it's just them watching your lifestyle. It's watching where you run when times get tough, and what you say, and right on down the line. I remember one time. My dad reminded me of this. My mom and dad were in the front seat, and my dad was. They were talking about a situation with a family, and dad said, "I started singing. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear." Right, up above. Tyra's finishing it, and it's called and taught. How does it happen? It's intentional. But then they watch our children, our grandchildren, they watch where we run. They watch how we handle things. And they're able to be able to learn of that. And you're saying, well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, kids that demonstrate violence have caught and taught violence. It's been taught to them. They've caught it. They've seen it happen. And it becomes the same thing with us. Let your children see your faith. Let them see it, and let them see your faithfulness exactly as it is. And then we learn not only is it passed on from a grandmother to a daughter who becomes a mother to a son, but realize in us that the gift of God is within your children. It is there. It is there. The moment they're saved is when the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. It says the Holy Spirit seals us as a deposit for what is to come in our life. And don't mix talents with gifts. Somebody's talent to sing or to play music. We're talking about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives a believer. And know that you are grooming those gifts. It says that in Timothy, there is a gift that God has given him. How did he get it? Well, he got it from the Lord. He got it from the Holy Spirit. But how did he get it? He got it because he accepted and lived a faith that he saw his mom and his grandmother be able to leave in him. So we're getting into a picture of discipleship. Realize Mary raised the Son of God, but moms, realize you raised the children of God. Amen. You raised those up. And there's some incredible women in this room today. It is very important that we see what happens. The challenge today is treasure, keep, ponder those God moments. But here's one extra. Tell your children about them. Yes. Tell your children about them. Have spiritual conversations, which is the H in our hope arrow. Have spiritual conversations with your children about how you came to faith, a baptism story. Right on down the line. Have those conversations. You have all kinds of conversations with them. Hopefully you do. I know as a parent you wish you always had more, but have spiritual conversations about them. I got a text from a guy that I am connected with in fish and wildlife endeavors, and his children go to our Kids Way daycare here Monday through Friday. He sent me a note. He took a picture of it and sent it to me in a text. And he said, "I just want you to know what is going on in Kids Way." And so his little boy's teacher sent him a note about how his son is progressing and that how they told the story about how Jesus ministered to a woman and how he had compassion for him, and she said, your little boy broke into tears when he realized how much Jesus was caring for this lady, and he sent me the note. He goes, "Man, this is absolutely amazing." He said, "This is absolutely amazing." I want you to hang on to that story for just a moment because I'm going to get into a competition that we're in. So treasure, ponder, keep the God moments, and not only you, tell them. Tell the God stories to your kids. We tried to do that in the Eaton household. You're going to think again you did it because you're a preacher, and then you can use it as an illustration, right? No. I wanted my children to know how God provided. I want them to know how God walked us through. And I wanted to give the credit to God and not to their parents. We never wanted Andrew or Laura to think Julie and I were infallible. We just wanted them to know that we trusted a faithful God. And we tell the stories of his faithfulness to us. So pass it on and realize that the gifts in your believing children are there and they're being stirred up in the faith of your children. I want you to look at Deuteronomy 4:9. I want to back up what I just said with Scripture for a moment. This is illustrations to Israel, commands to Israel of getting into the promised land. Only be on guard and diligently watch yourself so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen and so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and then teach them to your grandchildren. Tell them the stories. Let them hear the God stories that are going on in your life. Now, I know you're going, "Oh, wow, preacher, we don't talk, we don't meet." I understand that the dinner table that I grew up with doesn't exist today. And I can say I want it back, and it may in some homes, but most of our homes it doesn't because we're doing everything on the run. That becomes the problem. I told you as a pastor, if the Lord said, "Jeff, I'm going to let you do one thing," I would take your speed dial and take it from a 10 to a 2. I told you what I would do. I'd slow everybody in this building down if I had the power to do that. I don't. But I would slow all of you down, including myself. There is so much information processed in our minds today that we are weary. There are certain things called survey fatigue. It's used in marketing. Marketing has a line called survey fatigue because I can be on the phone and they're going, "Would you hold on a few more seconds so we can take a survey?" How many of us actually do that? I don't. I hang up. I don't want another survey. Somebody says, "Well, you need to send things out to your church and let them survey." You all would throw them in the floor. We get survey fatigue. It happens. I get things in the mail. I get things on email. You just did this. Tell us how our experience was, you know, and I get tired. I'm on the board at the hospital, and we do surveys with you when you leave there. And we examine those surveys as a board. And I'm going, I just think there's something wrong with the survey because you're asking people who don't want to be in the hospital, how was it in the hospital? What are you going to write? "Can't wait to come back next year"? Is that what you're going to write? 5-star? It's 5-star hospital. You know, we just get fatigued. It's process fatigue, survey fatigue. We just get fatigued. And we get to the point, and I want to say this to you because I want you to hear it. I live a simple faith. I preach a simple faith. And I lead and demonstrate and disciple a very simple faith. And my point in that is this: there is a lot of things that is competing for your mind and your heart. And I'm asking you today, moms, it's a whole lot easier for you. Women, it's a whole lot easier for you, for the guys, but I'm talking to all of us. Keep the God moments close. Keep the God moments close because you're going to need them. The times he has spoken to you, he's revealed himself to you. His presence has been overwhelming to you where he has promised you and he has been faithful to deliver that promise to you. Keep those God moments close because we're in such an informationally processed day today. You and I are worn out. We don't even want to think or react. We just become numb. We become the zombie. We just become hypnotized and we're just there, but we're not there. Here's where I want to shift to you. And this will not be on the screen. In Philippians 4, Paul says, you've got your problems to worry about, you've got all this, but give it to the Lord. And then he says, think on these things. Think on things that are true. Think on things that are honorable. Think on things that are just. Think on things, and this will be mainly to guys here, that are pure, guys. Think on things that are pure. Y'all hear me, guys? Do I have to explain that one, guys? Think on things that are pure. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are commendable. Think on things with excellence, things that are worthy of praise. And he said, practice these things. Did Paul know that we were going to be in a digital age? I don't think so. But even then, in a non-digital age, everything was still competing for their mind and their heart. And it is only compounded in our life today. And then here's the thing that I want to say to moms and dads, and we have to watch it as believers. We're concerned about where our children are in regards to the world. Are our kids going to be accepted? Are they going to be popular? Are they going to make something of themselves in the world? And then we all have these little hidden graphs of what we want them to be and where we want them to do. And we're concentrating on where our children are going to be in the world. And you need to know where your children are placed in the world is not near as important as where they are in the kingdom. Some of you all handle our children in the kingdom as a side move. And we're really more impressed about where our kids are in the world. But what's most important is where your children are in the kingdom of God. That is what's most important. So I know God. I know Him. You do too. He's given us those God moments of revelation. He has given us His promise. He's fulfilled His promise. His presence has been with us. It goes right on down the line. We're there. Keep them. Treasure them. Treasure those moments in your heart. And compare them to what's happening with the world, what truth and lies are. Compare His truth to the lies of the world, of the enemy of the flesh. Do that. And you're going to see who stands out. So keep them there. Keep those God moments incredibly close. But listen, pass it on. Pass it on. Let your children and your grandchildren see your faith. Tell them stories. Tell those stories about how God has brought you through. And remember, this is not our home, okay? All of us in here, I don't care if you believe or you don't, we're just passing through, all right? We are just passing through. And He promises to lead us through. Back to children and teaching them and discipling them, spiritual conversations, all that stuff. And back to Deuteronomy 4:9. Let me have that verse one more time. Only be on your guard and diligently watch yourselves so that you don't forget the things your eyes have seen, so that they don't slip from your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren. I went old school again this week in my office. Chorus of a hymn. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me a story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Live it. Pass it on. Tell it. Keep those God moments incredibly, incredibly close to your heart, because you're going to need it. The world's going to tell you that He's unfaithful. And what you've experienced with Him in your heart will tell you that He was faithful even when you and I were faithless. He remained faithful. Let's pray. Father, we pray over our people today. There's a challenge within Your word today, and that we are to keep those moments of You close to our heart and to keep them and remember them often. There's also a challenge from a grandmother and a mother passed on to a son, that we disciple our children, and to realizing to our children who believe There's a gift inside of them that you have given them, and it, even within us, we stir that gift up. Lord, it's an incredible responsibility. We can't do it without you. We've probably tried. We can't do it without you. Thank you for empowering us so that we can empower other generations. And thank you for those moments that are near and dear to our heart that nobody can convince us that it wasn't you who spoke to us, that it wasn't you who revealed yourself to us. And we tell that story. We continue to tell that story to the generations. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is for you to come and surrender your life to Christ today. You may have never done that. There are people here to minister to you, with you, and for you. Whatever you need to come for, there are people here to minister to you. We offer communion. The bread represents his body given, the drink his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink. Before you consume it, remember his sacrifice today and give thanks to him for being the faithful God that he is. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spots? You come as Logan leads.